Well, hello, radio friends, and once again, this is Minor Hawk coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-exalting program called The Voice of the Gospel. And I thank God today for this radio station here in southwestern Wisconsin where I can declare the good news, the gospel of the sovereign, matchless grace of God. And I trust that should there be any listening in today who've never been saved or born again, please, friend, please give heed to what the Word of God has to say, not only about you being a sinner, but the fact that Jesus Christ is your Savior if you will trust Him today. Let us ask God's blessing on the program. Our God and Father, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for Thy great heart of love that caused Thee to send Thy Son from heaven down to this sin-cursed earth to die on the cross for our sin. We thank Thee for the day of grace extended and pray Thy blessing upon Thy Word about to go forth today. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, today I'd like to direct your attention to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Two verses as we find them in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verses 36 and 37. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Now, friends, in the two verses which we've just read together today, we have brought before us two of the most important statements ever made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, He asked the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Then He follows up with the question, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, friends, I believe I'm speaking to someone out there in Radio Land today, and these two questions could very well be searching your heart and soul even now. Yes, some of you listening in today are living a life of ambition, a life of greed and fulfillment of every desire. You're spending all your time laying up treasures on earth. You're spending all your efforts towards achieving temporal goals. You're spending all your money to satisfy the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yes, my friend, you're living as though you were never going to die. And many of you are working very, very hard every day. But you know, my friend, God tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Friend, as sure as you're listening to my voice today, you're going to meet God. And regardless of your fame, your name, your fortune or position in life, the time will come when you must leave this earthly scene and pass out into the vast eternity that lies just ahead. Ah, but sad to say, men and women, boys and girls today are so busy seeking success, fame, education, adventure, money, pleasures, and position that they give little or no thought to the fact that they must meet God. You know, friend, over in Amos 4 and verse 12, we read these most solemn words, "Prepare to meet thy God." Prepare to meet thy God. And oh, how many people today are going off into eternity without preparing to meet God. They've had time for everything else, but no time for God. They have time for reading the newspaper, but no time for God. They have time for their farming, but no time for God. They have time for the radio and television, but no time for God. They have time for sports and amusement, but no time for God. They have time for education and employment, but no time for God. They have time for vacations and holidays, but absolutely no time for God. Ah, listen, friends. You can spend a lifetime of building up your earthly treasures and in fleshly gratification, but remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" I often think of that rich man that we read about over in Luke chapter 12 who was so prosperous in the things of this world, and God had blessed him to the extent that he'd become exceedingly greedy and had made plans to expand his facilities for receiving the blessings from God. He even went so far as to tell himself that he could now retire and he could take it easy and eat, drink, and be merry. Ah, but friend, listen. He forgot about God. He forgot about God. He had left God out of his plans entirely. He was a rich farmer. I wonder if I'm speaking to some rich farmer today, and God has blessed you the same way. And yet, my friend, you have no time to talk to God about His plans for your life and for your eternity. And what was the result we read about over in Luke chapter 12? Well, God took the time to speak to him, and this is what he said. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Listen, my friend, what good would it do you to become the richest person on earth, then lose your soul? And what good would it do you to be the greatest and the most important person on earth, then lose your own soul? Or what good would it do you to become the smartest person in your chosen field or profession if at the end of this sojourn called life you would drop into the flames of hell? Friend, I speak to you today from the very depths of my heart. Don't let the devil rob you of God's great salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Friend, the enemy of your soul is the devil. And being your enemy, he is determined to lull you into the flames of hell. He knows the weakness of mankind, so he uses these weaknesses to claim our souls. And I might add, too, that his greatest weapon is the big lie. Yes, the big lie. He'll tell you that the Bible is not the Word of God. He'll tell you that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. He'll tell you that there's no such a place as hell. He'll tell you that you can be saved by good works or religious rituals or church membership. He'll tell you that God wouldn't cast a creature of his into hell. And friends, if these lies don't succeed, he'll tell you that you should get saved, but not right away. He'll show you all the pleasures of sin, and he'll hypnotize you with position, money, fame, and fortune. But friend, remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, there may be someone listening in today who believes that they can purchase or buy their way into God's heaven. You give liberally to every cause of charity, and you pledge a large sum to the support of your church. You are always ready to give financial help to missionaries, and you believe in giving the one-tenth or the tithe of all that you earn. But listen, my friend, that's not salvation. No, my friend, now don't misunderstand me. I'm 100% in favor of supporting the cause of Christ, whether locally or abroad, but please don't ever get the idea that merely because you support your church, you are saved or born again. Oh, no. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Again, in that same chapter, in verse 23, we read that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know, every once in a while we read in the newspapers where a wealthy man dies and leaves thousands or maybe millions of dollars to various church denominations, some of which are doctrinally opposed to one another. Perhaps he wanted to make sure that he was helping the right church. Well, friend, it just won't work. You can't buy your way into God's heaven. Salvation is not for sale, and yet it's without money and without price. Friend, listen. As we search our own heart and soul today in view of eternity, can you honestly say that you've been saved or born again? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told that religious Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Friend, can you look back to a time in your life when after having been convicted by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, you looked by faith to Calvary, and there you beheld the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying in your guilty room and in your stead? He was a just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled. He knew no sin. And yet God saw fit to make him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friend, remember these words in our text today. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Listen, my friend, when you die, you can't take your money with you. When you die, you can't take your property with you. When you die, you can't take your pleasures with you. No, my friend, When you die, your soul goes to either one of two places, either heaven or hell. If you've been saved or born again through faith in Christ, your soul goes to heaven. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul will spend all eternity in hell and the lake of fire. So, friend, why not be wise today? Why not be wise and consider your latter end? Ask yourself the question, if you were to die today, if this was the date that's going to be on your tombstone as the day of your death, where would your soul be? Would it be in heaven or would it be in hell? Well, friend, I trust that it would be in heaven. And if it would be in heaven, it's because you know that you've been saved. You don't think you're saved. Every once in a while I meet people and they say, well, I hope I'm saved or I hope I'm going to heaven. Friend, if you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. And you can look back to a definite time when, place where, and manner how you were born again from above through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon today to take me into God's heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, which cleanseth from all sin. Yes, I can look back to that day in my own life on June the 2nd of 1952 while a patient in a Presbyterian hospital in Pittsburgh. I was under conviction of sin. I knew I was lost. I knew I was going down to a deserving hell and lake of fire. And in simple childlike faith, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. How about you, friend? Are you saved? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? Friend, I plead with you today. Yes, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul, because if you could, then why did he die? If you could reach heaven by so-called good works or church membership or anything else, then tell me, friend, why did the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, die that shameful and ignominious death at Calvary's cross? And then, my friend, when you acknowledge Him as Savior and Lord, you'll confess Him to your friends and relatives and co-workers. Yes, you'll tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has done for you, and what He can likewise do for them. So, friend, I plead with you right now to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Yes, as your Savior and your Lord, because if you do, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, we claim Thy promise that Thy word shall not return void. Save souls, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel program. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, PA, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.